Morning Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you today?
Morena, I'm safely ensconced in home in this rainy morning.
It is a gross one. It is a very, very gross day out there. We are talking fusion today. Tell us what this is all about, Kirsten.
Well, yeah, so I was confused, and turns out reading a lot of articles, everyone is, so it wasn't just me.
Okay.
Because fusion, you know, literally means, right, fusing any two things together. And so
Probably
lots of music we listen to is fusion, and there could be lots of sorts of subgenre labeled fusion. But the one that seems to have captured and trademarked the name is a particular thing called jazz fusion, which was...
Jazz fusion.
I know.
You have to say it with a like kind of jazz hand energy.
Sorry, jazz. Which, so in the late 60s and then 70s, and then some of them still go now, was jazz musicians importing things from rock that they felt fit in and was amazing. And it was so popular and so done and really transformed jazz at the time that it became like its own thing that gets to have this name fusion. And it's weird because jazz and rock were kind of at odds. You know, jazz was, you know, very elevated, very complicated, you know, had a particular audience, and this sort of young upstart rock and roll was taking all the kids. And so a lot of jazz musicians had like hated rock. But then some revolutionary artists like Miles Davis, who we will hear later, you know, took advantage of jazz's constant shifting and flexibility, and it had the whole time, you know, just bringing in new things and evolving, and said, no, we can integrate with this.
I'm going to hit the first track now. So far getting the jazz.
I know.
Big jazz going on here.
So the jazz that you're getting is that it sounds just like rambling on.
Noodling
you're
away.
Noodling, that's right. And you're not getting that hit of a chorus or simplicity that you would get from rock.
I love that.
Yes. This is great. This is putting me in such a good mood, I have to say. What are we listening to here, Kirsten?
So this is Chick Corea, 1974, his song Captain Marvel. And he had been a member of Miles Davis' band, played the piano. But he's playing an electric piano. And so part of this shift was using electronic instruments, which jazz hadn't been doing.
Right.
Electric guitar, you know, electric keyboards. And so that was bringing in something that was almost anathema, you know, in the beginning. And it's got a groove.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they got from sort of funk music that jazz had had often, you know, more meandering rhythms or else just really tight, straight rhythms.
You could definitely dance to this.
Oh, I don't know. You'd be pretty fast dancing there.
Just got to find your particular groove within it and then go with that, you know?
And Chick Corea, passed in 2021, which I think I'd missed. You know, I guess we were all COVIDed out. And this is considered one of the greatest jazz albums of all time.
Wow.
So, and that's jazz, not jazz fusion. So
yeah.
They transformed jazz to be able to have some of these sort of rock and funk elements.
So
I'm loving those vocals.
Yeah. So good. So this is kind of one of those Venn diagram genres where we've got two overlapping a little bit. So it definitely sits in, it sits probably more firmly in the jazz world, at least this track does, than in these kind of rock and pop worlds. But what was the reception to this like at the time? Was this something you'd hear on the radio? What was the vibe with this?
Well, when Miles first started doing the mix in the late 60s, so this is 74 by now, but jazz people were really upset. You know, it was wrong. It was had this sort of simpler harmony of rock. It had this sort of funk in the bass and this sort of swing. But then it found its audience.
Mm.
I don't think it was the rock audience, as you said, But believe it or not, this was a more accessible, palatable jazz.
This is fabulous, but they're all very long songs, so we're going to move on to the next one, which is a bit of weather report. Oh, yeah.
So the lead guy, Joe Zawinul, is the pianist.
Okay.
It's like the start of a sitcom.
Right.
A little bit Seinfeld-y, yeah.
But so it does have that accessibility,
yes.
You know?
So this is Birdland from Heavy Weather.
Right, it probably set the tone for TV theme songs. So this is 1977, and the band also did a lot of stuff with Joni Mitchell.
Oh, true, of course.
Oh, and apparently, get this, all these artists don't like the term jazz fusion.
That doesn't surprise me, because it sort of is a bit like... It feels a bit like one of those names where you're like, oh, you're kind of this, you're kind of that. It's like a watered-down version of, you know, those are the implications maybe of a name like that.
I feel like we get this every genre, you know, the actual artists are like,
no.
It doesn't fit into a box. Oh, and the bassist for this band, Jaco Pastorius, amazing, and plays a fretless bass and had a really successful career himself.
And it's interesting you said this is 77 because it feels, I guess it's late 70s, but it feels very 80s in the sort of tone of a lot of the instrumentation in this. Like, that maybe that thing we were talking about, it's got a television kind of feeling to it. Like, not television the band, television the medium. But there's something about that which feels very 80s. Kind of ahead of the curve, maybe.
That's right. So very, very influential. And you can hear Jaco's bass as well. He's grooving around on that fretless slidiness.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of my faves.
And was this popular, Kirsten?
Yeah, they did really well. And some of the other dudes, let's be honest, they're dudes, doing this... It was Frank Zappa,
true,
Hancock,
true.
Pat Metheny. So, yeah, it became this sort of experimentation, acknowledgement, but then, you know, these artists managed to sort of cohese it into its own thing.
Yeah. This has got a lot left on it, and the last song we're going to play is nearly 10 minutes long, so I'm going to jump into that now.
Okay, so this is... the iconic sort of beginnings of it. Miles Davis Quartet, 1966, Footprints. And Miles is the trumpeter. So for you jazz people, it's also known as post-bop. I read a great quote that Miles's jazz is always a critique of jazz.
That is a good quote, and that feels very true.
And for you music nerds out there, I haven't listened closely enough to hear it, supposedly there's a 12-8 rhythm going along with the 4-4 rhythm at the same time.
Right, I'm gonna try and count. It's too hard to count.
Oh yeah, no, I'm hearing the bass is doing the 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh yeah.
And that's the sort of bringing, you know, this African thing of polyrhythms. You know, so they're hitting on the one at the same time.
So is this... We've talked about it's drawing from different, like, genres, but also is there a specific part of the world that this was taking off in? Is it America? Where was this kind of having its moment?
Yeah, this is US. And you think about it, Miles was looking at some of the greatest musicians in this late 60s period, well, like Eric Clapton, who is British, and Jimi Hendrix, that were going into rock, you know, and not this kind of more elevated, educated music. And so they were trying to sort of take it back, you know, because rock wasn't supposed to be, you know, complex. I mean,
yeah.
Later it did swing the other way. And so this music, instrumental, mostly, except for our ooh-wahs we had earlier. Long songs, 10 minutes is kind of the norm. Solos, yeah, as you're hearing. But, you know, we still get the solos in rock, you know?
Yeah, so totally. There is commonality between those genres, like different sounds, but similar vibes. Both, I reckon, have a, like, particular celebration of instruments. Like, you know, you get the big shreddy guitar solo in a hearty rock song, you get.
Yeah, Muso's music.
Music, yeah.
But, yeah, no, apparently some jazz people still think this is not real jazz. And, you know, we're listening to it going, bro, that's jazz.
That's jazz, baby.
Because it was revolutionary, I guess, the equivalent of Bob Dylan, you know, playing electric, you know, folk. It was...
Freaks people out.
Yeah. And I guess maybe now the sound is... We can hear it and it seems like a natural fusion. But at its time, it was really jarring.
I think that's always so interesting when we do talk about, you know, historical genre on this segment, Kirsten, is that because it often ends up being the cutting edge that then transforms sounds so it sounds quite familiar to us, you have to really get into a different headspace to imagine it shocking people at the time, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, I even find, you know, like in classes talking about, say, women in hip-hop or queer hip-hop, and the students look at me like, yeah, what's the problem here? And I'm like, actually, it used to not be done.
Yeah. This is great. This is Footprints by Miles Davis. We've also listened to Birdland by The Weather Report and Chick Corea with Captain Marvel to kick us off. Where are we going to be going next week, Kirsten?
Now, are we having a show because it's Matariki, right?
Ooh, is it? When's our holiday? We'll work it out.
Oh, no, it's the next one.
Probably. The next one after.
If we're not, we are going to the beautiful Isles of Greece.
Ooh, okay. I'm ready to go on holiday. Thank you, Kirsten. We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you.